السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وبعظيم سلطانك. اللهم صل صلاة كاملة وسلم سلاما تاما على سيدنا محمد، تنحل به العقد وتنفرج به الكرب وتقضى به الحاجات وتنال به الرغائب وحسن الخواتم، ويستسقى الغمام بوجهه الكريم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. We welcome you all back to this session of the tafsir of the Quran that we've been fortunate to study together. And as always, I'd like to remind myself that everything we begin is by the praise and hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by praising and glorifying him as he deserves, and thanking him for the blessing of the Quran, thanking him for the great blessing and favor of sending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us, and for making us in his ummah and as believers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us nothing else in this life, not a drop of water, nothing else, this would be enough for us. Except we don't realize this blessing of Islam, of the Quran, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let me first remind myself and you once again that the Quran is a book of guidance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those who believe and who are looking for guidance in their lives. Those who do not doubt about its authenticity, about its origin, about its preservation, that it is divinely inspired words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, protected by him, guaranteed by him. Those who submit to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and take its halal as halal and its haram as haram. Those who want to receive from the Quran rather than those who want to give to the Quran their own interpretations. The Quran does not guide those who are looking to argue with the Quran, those who are trying to find inconsistencies in the Quran, those who challenge the Quran, either verbally or by their actions, and those who try and reinterpret the Quran according to their own nufus and their own hawa and their desires. But those, alhamdulillah, of us who approach the Quran with the attitude of humility, of submission, will find guidance. And as a result of that guidance, they will see transformation in their lives. They will witness increased barakat in their lives. And they will have certainty in the akhirah. And they will find that their akhlaq are becoming better. Their character is becoming better. Their dealings with each other are becoming more fair and just. And their relationships becoming more beautiful and meaningful. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he make us among those who benefit from the Quran, those who submit to it who act upon it, who reflect on it, and who lead their lives according to the Quran, like the best example of the best of Allah's creation, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, who was, as our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. The character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an. He was the walking embodiment of the Qur'an. So if you want to see Qur'an in action, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his character. And that's what we have to keep in mind. Don't just treat this as a book that you read and you put away on a shelf. Or we put it on a shelf, we don't even read it. We don't understand it. We've learned everything else except the Qur'an. And the Qur'an is meant to be practiced in our lives. So we've been dealing with, as we said, the Makkan portion of the Qur'an. Our scholars have divided the Qur'an into the Makkan revelation and the Madinan revelation. So the first 12 to 13 years of what was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under hostile situations in Mecca. And that Meccan Qur'an has certain themes. And the scholars have said that there are seven major themes in the Qur'an. Number one, the most important, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself, his rububiyah, his lordship over everything, his asma wa sifat, his names, his attributes, of how he created and all of that. The second theme is Risala, that he sent messengers and messages. The final one of which is what we are studying, the Qur'an, the ultimate completed message, and sent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the greatest of his creation, the best of his example, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third theme is that of the Akhirah, that there is life after death, that there is resurrection, that there is a day of judgment, and there are two destinations at the end of it, the Jannah, the paradise, and the hellfire. So that's theme number three. Fourth is ahkam, rulings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the code of ethics, of morality, of right and wrong, and all the legal rulings. And most of the ahkam were revealed in the Madinan period. Then the fifth thing is Quran contains bashara, glad tidings, promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are good, who obey. And it contains inzar. Inzar means warnings, wake-up calls for people who disobey, threats that this will happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, as we say, the carrot and the stick, both. You take this or you take this, whatever works for you. And then the seventh theme is the qasas, the stories of previous nations, the previous anbiya, what happened with them. So those are the main themes. And in the Meccan Quran, the main themes are dealing with the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the risala and the akhirah, with some of the qasasul anbiya. Most of the ahkam are not in the Meccan Quran. And in the surah that we are going to be studying, Surah Al-Mulk, we will see Tawheed, we will see Risala, we will see Akhira, we will see Inzar, strong warnings, and we will have a little bit of Bashara. And so keep that in mind. So the scholars tell us, just by the theme of it, that this is a Meccan surah, but there's no definite date of when it was revealed. By most estimates, it's from the early to the mid-Meccan period. And as you know, it's the beginning of the 29th Juz of Sipara, which is called Juz Tabarak. So there are names of this surah. It is called Surah Al-Mulk. It is also called Surah Tabarak, Surah Tabarak Al-Ladhi. It is also called Surah Al-Mani'a. Surah Al-Mani'a means the shield, the protector. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that this surah protects you from the punishment of the grave. And it is also called Al-Munjiya, the Savior, because the Prophet ﷺ taught us, which we are going to go over in a minute, that this surah will intercede for the one who used to recite it regularly in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he is forgiven or she is forgiven. So it will provide him najah. Now, let's just talk about the special status of this surah, the blessings, the fadail, the importance of this surah. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, he said, إِنَّ سُورَةً مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ ثَلَاثُونَ آيَةٌ شَفَعَتْ لِرَجُلٍ حَتَّى غُفِرَ لَهُ وَهِيَ سُورَةُ التَّبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, what means? Indeed, there is a surah in the Quran of 30 ayahs only, 30 ayahs, which will intercede for a man on the Day of Judgment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till he is forgiven. Just imagine that you will have an attorney in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his own words, if we take care of the surah. So don't take that lightly. And he said, this is Tabarak al-Ladhi bi yadihi al-Mulk. It is narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith that there is a surah of 30 verses in the Quran which will intercede for its reciter and plead for him till it causes him to enter Jannah, which is a different facet of the same thing. And then Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would not sleep until he had recited Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk every night. So what does that teach us? What should we do? It's not sufficient to say that, oh, these are so important. That's one thing. Oh, this is such a great surah. I should follow that sunnah that I should read. If I've memorized, it doesn't take very long. Otherwise, I should read it before I go to sleep. Make that a part of my daily activity, my daily wird. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that whoever recites this surah every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from the punishment of the grave. That's the next step after death. Way before the Day of Judgment, the situation in the grave. What is the situation in the grave? The Prophet ﷺ said, if you knew what I know of what happens in the grave, you would stop burying your dead. Okay. So that's real. And here is a surah that will protect you from punishment of the grave. And he said at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, we used to call it Al-Mania, means the one that protects. And whoever recites it every night has done very well. And then finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that my heart desires that this surah should be in the heart of every one of my ummah. Being in the heart means being attached to it, understanding it, all of that, and preferably memorizing it. There is an incident that happened that's narrated by Imam Tirmidhi from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that once some of the Sahaba were traveling on a journey, they pitched a tent and they didn't know that there was a grave right there. So as in the night they were pitching their tent, they heard recitation of Tabarak al-Ladhi biyadihi al-Mulk, a karam or something special. So when they came back, they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him that this is what happened. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this surah protects against Allah's punishment and ensures deliverance from the hellfire. So on this basis, there is hope that believers who believe in this surah, really, and read it regularly, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning the lessons contained in it, and acting according to the rulings that are contained herein, it will intercede on their behalf in the hereafter in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very, very important. These are the certain special fada'il. Now, the main themes of this surah, as we mentioned before, of the seven themes, Tawheed is going to be mentioned. Allah is talking about His kingdom, His dominion. Allah is talking about His power, His omnipotence, His absolute power and control over everything. He talks about the perfection of His creation, you know, His rububiyah. Number two, it's going to talk about life and death, that they are the creation of Allah, and He created it as a test. A test for what? To see who is making the right choices and doing the best of deeds, and who is making the wrong choices in their lives, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a life where we make choices. And so either we are in this group, right choices, or the wrong choices. Now it's interesting, there is continuity in the Quran. If we look at the surah just before this, which is Surah Tahrim, the last few ayats of Surah Tahrim gives us an example of two or four people who made choices. Two who made the right choices and two who made the wrong choices. That's what the last surah ends with, and then the surah comes. So Surah Tahrim ends with the story of two women who made the right choices. Imra'at Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, and Maryam alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them and talks about their status. And then He talks about two women who made the wrong choices. Imra'at Nuh wa Imra'at Lut alayhi salam, the wives of Nuh alayhi salam and the wife of Lut alayhi salam, wives of two messengers of Allah, two prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them. So it is an individual decision, choices that we make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has created life and death for test. The other theme here is that of the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to think and reflect. So there are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within us, what we experience and what we see around us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reflect, think and ponder about and use our aql. Allah has given us intellect to think, to reason. And then, as we said before, there is a lot of warning threats in this Quran, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that early Meccan period was also sent to warn people. When do you warn people? When people are asleep, when people are comatose, when people don't care about anything. And that's what the time of Jahiliyyah was. So right in the beginning, if you remember, one of the first surahs we covered was Surah Al-Muddathir. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir. Stand up and warn. Right from the beginning, warn people, wake them up. This is a wake-up call for them. Also, in early surah Al-Shu'ara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your family members who are close to you. It was after this was revealed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called all of his family to the mountain and said, if I were to tell you that there's an enemy behind this mountain, would you believe me? They said, yes. And then he said, believe in Allah, and this is what's coming, there is Jahannam. Then they said, oh, you know, you called us for this, they rejected it. So that warning part, this is part of that warning, this surah is also part of it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the state of the disbelievers, what will happen in six ayats, and there is only one ayah of tabshir for the believers. In this, the ratio is more about the warnings rather than the bashara. And the surah ends with certain rhetorical questions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask the people who are rejecting. Qul this, qul, qul, and we'll come to that. So now with this introduction, let us start with the first five ayats of Surah Tabarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسيا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah Tabaraka. The word Tabaraka comes from Baraka. You heard everybody is familiar with Baraka. And Baraka in Arabic means two things. Az-ziyada wal-baqa means something that increases and which remains. It's not something that increases and disappears. So generally it means to increase and to remain. We are talking about what? The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Tabarak means the most blessed is Alladhi, is the one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say who is blessed. He leaves this for us to use our akal to figure out who is being talked about. Tabarak Alladhi. Now most blessed means he is the source of all blessing. He is the bestower of every blessing and he gives it to every one of his creation, blessings that increase and that remain. And the word Tabarak, the most blessed, it's the exaggerated form, is only used in the Quran for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mubarak can be used for other people, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Isa alayhi salam saying, I am Mubarak and things like that. But the word Tabarak is only used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And interestingly, when this Tabarak comes, it has frequently linked with the name of Allah, the great name Ar-Rahman. So in this surah, which starts with Tabarak, we will find four different mentions later on of Ar-Rahman. Now there is only one other surah which starts with Tabarak, and that is Surah Al-Furqan. And in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ لَيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. Blessed, most blessed is he. Again, he doesn't say who, he doesn't say تَبَارَكَ اللَّهِ, he said تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي. Most blessed is he who sent down the Furqan, the criteria of right and wrong, which is the Quran, to his slave, عَبْدِهِ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. Again, same nadir. To all the worlds as a warner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere uses the word tabarak. He says, تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Here he uses the word Allah after tabarak. He says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Blessed be Allah, the one who is the best of creator. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا سِرَاجًا وَقَمَرًا مُنِيرًا تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي إِنْشَأَ جَعَلَ لَكَ خَيْرًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكَ قُصُورًا وَتَبَارَكَ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So the word tabarak, over and over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes mentions his name is Tabarak Allah, but here Tabarak Alladhi. Now you think. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is a thinking surah. You come to the conclusion. And it is in the third person, Alladhi. He is. So think of who is the one who is the most blessed. Biyadihil mulk. Bi means something that is in. It's called ba of zarf. In his possession, in his hand, biyadihil mulk. The word mulk needs to be explained. We describe it as the kingdom, the sovereignty, the dominion. And it comes from the word malaka, which means to possess, to control, to rule, to reign. So derivatives of malaka are mulk, malik. Malik means owner. Malik means king. Malak, angels. Malaik, angel. Malaika, angels. And malakut. So these are all derivatives. So some say, when you say Tabarakalladhi biyadihil mulk, for in his hand is the dominion, is the kingdom, that this is enough to say that everywhere, everything includes that kingdom. But some of the scholars have said that mulk specifies what is of the seen world and malakut of the unseen world, that they are both the dominions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm just bringing that up so that you know. Now, the structure, the grammatical structure in this is a normal, is a reversal of normally how we say it. Normal thing in Arabic would be al-mulk bi-yadi. When you say bi-yadihil mulk, it is called ikhtisas, means it is showing exclusivity, that only in Allah's hand is the kingdom. Just like we have, if we say na'abuduka, na'abuduka, we worship you, Allah. But it doesn't, if you say that, it means we worship you, and we could worship something else. When you say iyyaka na'budu, it changes it. Only you we worship. So this is the structure, and in this surah, it comes over and over again, this reversal of the normal language to bring focus and to show exclusivity. So what this is saying is, only in his hand is the dominion of the whole world. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَهُوَ, and he, over everything. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ means everything that you know, anything that you can imagine, things that you don't know, anything that exists. What is كُلَّ شَيْءٍ? Everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. That Allah has the dominion and he is قَدِير. Qadir comes from the word qadara, which means to have the power, the control, the ability to do anything with it, and to do it. Qadir means continually. It's not just once in a while. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he not only does he have kingdom, but he has control of everything continuously, every single thing. Now compare that to the kings of the world. You can be a king, you can be very mighty, but you don't have control of everything. Somebody's planning a coup against you, somebody's trying to assassinate you, you need guards. And one of the greatest kings in terms of power and what he could do was Pharaoh, right? And just as we said in the last surah before this Tahrim, he was the king, but he didn't have control even over his own wife, who rejected him and chose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, this is not any ordinary king. He has kingdom, the ownership, and he has control, complete control over everything. So, Tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what is the answer? No answer is given. No ayah comes to say, Allah is the one. Why? Because it's so obvious. It's so obvious that no answer needs to be given. And this is such a powerful opening ayah. Just four words. And look at the meaning it conveys. And what should it do to our hearts? That Allah, Allah. Therefore, what should I do? I am nothing. I should be obeying him. I should be worshipping him. That's all I should be doing. I should never put myself in front of what he says, or what he commands, or what he wants. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladhi, he is the one, khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata. He is the one, khalaqa, created. He created mawta wal-hayata. We translate that as death and life. But maut, the word maut is used more than death. Maut in Arabic is the opposite of hayat. Hayat means life. This means lifelessness. Not just the death that we know, being lifeless. Allah uses this for multiple things. Allah uses it, the word maut, for the death of the spiritual heart. Person is alive. He talks about mayyit, the qalb, the heart is dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word for the earth, ard, mayyit, ard. The earth dies. So, lifelessness and life. So, there are two deaths and there are two lives. What are the two deaths? When we say death, remember lifelessness. We were lifeless. Then Allah gave us life in this dunya. Then we will experience the second lifelessness, which we call death. And then He will give us the second eternal life, which is the life forever. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, and this was stressed to the Quraysh, because one thing, they were willing to accept that there is Allah. But what they couldn't accept is that once we are dead, how can we be brought back to life? And that was a very critical part of the iman, because it decides your actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So how can you disbelieve? Seeing that you were dead, you were lifeless, you didn't exist, and He gave you life, which is the life of this dunya. Then He will give you death, means you are dying. Everybody, nobody, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Everybody, believer, disbeliever, messengers, everybody dies. That's the rule. And then, thumma yuhyikum. We will give you that life again, which is the day of resurrection, and then unto Him you will return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's not just, this is not the end. Now, some people might ask, why is it that death is mentioned first? Simple reason, as we said, because we were lifeless and then we were given life. Another reason could be because this message is going to people who are already alive, right? So what's the first thing they're going to experience? Death. And then they're told there is life again after that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with this right in the beginning, because death is the ultimate motivator, the wake-up call. When you're reminded of that, if death, the fear of death doesn't change people's attitudes, nothing will change. Nothing will change. One time, a person had gone to a very spiritual sheikh and said to him, give me some nasiha. I remember this. So the sheikh said to him, is your father alive? He said, no, my father passed away. He said, that was the greatest nasiha. If you did not get nasiha, advice, sound advice, or you didn't learn from the death of your father, there's nothing I can say that will give you nasiha. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, aktharu, frequently remember, hadamul ladhat, the one that destroys pleasure, which is death, because that softens our hearts. So this ayah confirms that life does not end with death in the dunya, but that there is an eternal life, and therefore there is accountability, which the kuffar denied. So they refused to accept this, that they would be brought back to life, because then the consequences would be that they would have to answer for their wrongs and the injustice that they did, that they were perpetrating in society. So this is a life, this haya that we have, this life is a life of tests, and the life of the hereafter is for jaza and baqa, for your repayment, for your recompense, for your reward or punishment, and eternal baqa, which will continue. It doesn't come to an end after that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He created life and death. Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ For the purpose of يَبْلُوَكُمْ comes from بَلَى. And بَلَى means test, trial. يَبْلُوَكُمْ Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from third person goes to second person, plural. Now it's telling us that all of you, it's not just one person, all of you, whether you are a believer, whether you are a disbeliever, whether you are young, everybody will go through this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's trials, this dunya is for trials, for tests, and the trials are a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Because through this, He sorts out the believers and disbelievers. Through the test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the darajat, the levels, ranks of people. And also through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an essential component of what we call tazkiyah, of purification. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is nothing, no fatigue, no hurt, no loss, no distress, no sadness, even the pricking of a thorn that a believer experiences, but Allah uses it to wash away, to remove his sins. So the bala that we go through, the difficulties, the toils, is for us to be purified. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjects us to what we consider positive tests and negative tests. Negative tests where we feel loss. We lost a family member. We lost money. We lost in our health. We lost this. We lost that. But there are positive tests also where Allah gives and He gives and He gives. That's sometimes a bigger test because it makes us forget who is the giver and we get corrupted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the test for? Who makes the right choices? أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Which among all of you? أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا أَحْسَن is the superlative form of حَسَن, of good. Who is the best? Who is the most excellent in doing good deeds? The best deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here doesn't say aktharu amala, who does a lot of deeds. He's not talking about quantity. He's talking about quality. Ahsana amala. Because quantity, if it is disconnected from quality, means nothing. If you are doing things that are junk, if you have a lot of it, what are you going to have? You're going to have a heap of junk. So quality first and then quantity. That our actions should be beautiful. We must focus in quality, in everything, in our ibadah, in our salah. 2 rak'ah of nafil done with full khushu and khudu and integrity is better than 20 rak'ah done with an absent mind. And the same thing applies in all other aspects when we are doing sawm. How aware are we? How excellent are we? In dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our hajj when we go out there, what is our concern and how we're performing? And it goes into everything else in our life, including how we study for our young students, how we do our jobs, whatever jobs we have, how we fulfill our responsibilities as parents, as husbands and wives, as neighbors, and all of that. If we are making something, how beautifully we make it. If we are studying the Quran, how well do we study it? How well do we internalize it? Everything should be ahsan in its quality. This is the test, the highest, best quality. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you does something Allah loves, that you do it with excellence. Okay. So after this ayah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, who does the best deeds? He says, the one who is most wary, who is very careful of what Allah has forbidden. Very careful, very alert. And who is the quickest to obey. When there is a command, right away. That is ahsan amal. And then doing the quality of that. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening up a challenge for us. Who is the best among you? That's a competition. Right? Because we have within us a built-in system of competing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, you compete for wealth and you compete for your children and you compete for power. We compete for everything. I want to be the highest in my first in my grade, and I want to be the best in this and best in this. And Olympics are going on, I want to be the fastest in this, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us where we should compete. He said, compete with each other positively in doing good deeds, in being generous, in whatever you do. Ahsanu amala wa huwa al-azizul ghafoor. And he says, and he is al-aziz. Al-aziz means the one who overpowers, who has the strength. Al-aziz, the might. And al-ghafoor. And al-ghafoor means what? The one who is the most forgiving. And ghafara also means to cover the mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two of his attributes, because there are two groups of people. One that make the wrong choices, who rebel. He's telling them, just remember, I am al-aziz. I can do what I want. I can punish as I want. And then he's also telling those who are trying their best, the second group, to please Allah, doesn't matter. You will make mistakes. You will have slips. But your Rabb is Ghafoor. Not only will he forgive them, but he will cover you, your faults and your mistakes, that nobody else sees them. Nobody knows about. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. He is the one who created for you seven heavens. Sama, plural of which is samawat, is everything that's above us. So the skies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us he has created seven. Tabaq means layers, one above the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created seven skies or seven heavens, one above the other, which blend and are separated. We know that there are gates between them from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his Mi'raj, that at every heaven there was a gatekeepers, angels, who would not permit till permission was given. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these seven heavens, that they are separated, yet we see nothing about it. And there are guards in sab'a samawatin tibaqa ma tara fi khalqi ar-rahmani min tafawut. He says, you will not. And he's now ma'tara. He's saying, you, single person. Now, because we have to reflect on this. When we looked at the skies as individuals, this is for reflection. That you, as individuals, if you reflect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ma'tara fi khalq ar-Rahman. In the creation of ar-Rahman. He doesn't say creation of Allah, ar-Rahman, because everything he's created is out of his mercy for us. Okay? He's saying, you will never find any tafawut. Tafawut means any inconsistency, any disproportion, any imbalance, discordance, defects, nothing. Farji' al-basara. Your vision, you look, will return back to its place, because it will not find. Ma tara fi khalq ar-Rahman min tafawut. Farji' al-basara. Basara, hal tara min futur. Did they see any futur, any defect, any rip, anything in there, any gaps? Nothing. You cannot see. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Look and reflect on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ ارْجَعِ الْبَصَرَ karratain. And again look. Karratain from takrar means to repeatedly. Keep looking, keep looking. Just as well as, better than the first time. And see if you can find any defects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِيًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. And your vision will come back to you. يَنْقَلِبْ, come back, in an altered, in a changed way. خَاسِيًا means humiliated, because it finds nothing. It's humbled, it's dulled, it's bedazzled by what they see. Because you find nothing. And hasir means tired. You know, when your eyes get tired, you keep looking, you will find nothing of any fault or anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to look at his creation, and through the creation, recognize the perfection of the creator. And this is similar to the one who tries to find faults in the sama, tries to find discrepancies in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they not, because people have, even today, they try and see, let's find something that we can criticize the people who work against Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this many years ago, say, do they not consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein many inconsistencies and contradictions. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مَنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوْ وَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Ayah number 5. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. Now he specifies the lowest heaven. Sama dunya is the first heaven. The word dunya means something that's low. Just remember that. So this is the lowest heaven, which is, contains all the stars and planets and galaxies. That this is the first heaven. And this, compared to the second, is like a ring in the desert, the hadith tells. And the second to the third, like that. So just imagine the vastness of the heavens. And then all of those compared to the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a ring thrown in an open desert. And the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to his arsh is like a little halaqa, a little ring thrown in an open desert. Imagine. And then think of who is the one, istawa ala al-arsh, who is above the arsh. Allah, Allah, Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have decorated, zayyan, adorned, beautified the lowest heaven with masabih, plural of misbah, which means lamps, lanterns, lights. What is he referring to? The stars. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us a second function of this, that we have made it rujum. Rajam means to throw something, to cast, to pelt something, like we do in Hajj. Rajam, throwing stones. That Allah has made these things in the heavens, whether they are meteors, رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينَ, to chase away, to strike the shayateen, like missiles that are hurled to chase them away. Now there is a background to this. Before the revelation of the Quran, the shayateen, which is the jinn, could travel through the heavens. And what they used to do, they used to go through the heavens and they used to hear what commands were coming down, what was going to happen. And then they would come back to their companions among men and jinn and tell them of future events to these fortune tellers and these sorcerers. And then they would corrupt the belief system of the people by telling them this is going to happen, that now you believe in me, I am this and that sort of thing. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, he stopped that. No more can you go through this heaven. So when you see a meteorite, know that it's been cast at the shayateen, chasing them away, that they do no longer have access to those, that information ahead of time with which they can come back to the people and corrupt their beliefs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this we should know, because sometimes people go to astrologers and fortune tellers and this, you know, all kind of read my palm and read my tea leaves and read my this and read my that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever comes to a kahin, a fortune teller, or to an arraf, the one who divines, who says, okay, if I throw this, this will, what this means, and considers what he or she says to be the truth, has disbelieved in what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kufr. Okay, it's very, very serious. Don't even take it as joke, you know, for fun. And especially if a person believes in what was said. Okay. So Qatada radiallahu anhu, who was a taba tabi'un, commentator of the Quran, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the stars for three purposes. One, as we mentioned, two are mentioned here, to decorate the heavens. Two, rujum al-shayateen, besides, and third, he said, as guides to the traveler, because elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it, that in the night when the people used to travel, they used to use the stars. You know, we have the Big Dipper, the Small Dipper, the North Star, tells you directions of how to travel at night. That's how they did. They didn't have, you know, satellites and navigation systems. And he says, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. And for these people who do that, the jinns and who were corrupting people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have prepared for them, especially for them, Adab al-Sa'ir. Again, exclusively, Adab al-Sa'ir, punishment. Sa'ir means a flaming fire with lots of flame. We'll inshallah go 10 more minutes, see what we can cover. So we go to ayah number 6. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have also prepared for the kafaru. Kafaru, the word kafara means to cover. The ultimate kafar, the farmer is called a kafir in Arabic because he covers the seeds under the ground. But here what is meant in the Islamic sense is one who covers the truth, the ultimate truth of tawheed, you know, of risala. Anyone who denies any of this, or the akhirah, is covering the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts negative connotation to this, that whoever covers the obvious truth, which is tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who denies their, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kafaru bi rabbihim. He doesn't say, he doesn't use his name here. Now there is a hikmah. Who does kufr to his Lord, to their Lord? What does that tell you? That makes people feel even more guilty. He's not saying to Allah. Means the Lord who nurtured you, who provided for you, who took care of you, who did everything for you, and yet you do kufr to him. That makes at least any heart that has any life would feel even more guilty, that how can I do this to my Rabb? Okay. Kafaru bi rabbihim adabu jahannam wa bi'sa al-masir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, for them is the adab, the punishment of jahannam. Bi'sa al-masir means the worst. Masir is a place, a destination where you're going to stay. The jahannam is the worst of place, the final end of the journey. So by describing that, bi'sa al-masir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stressing the adab of jahannam. Now in the next ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a scene of the future. Of these are the ayahs of indhar, of warning. Of what will happen to the people who, among the jinn and ins, men who deny, who do kufr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورٌ. إِذَا, when, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say if, when. When, ulqu means when they're thrown in, when they're cast into it, Jahannam. Disbelievers are being, just imagine the scene, being thrown into Jahannam, سَمِعُوا لَهَا, they will hear the fire. Even in here, if you have a big fire, you hear some sounds in the fire, right? You hear that sound. Now the fire of Jahannam is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will hear its shahiqan. Shahiqan is it's a very scary, hideous sound, like somebody taking a deep breath. That's the fire of Jahannam breathing. The hellfire makes a sound as the people are dragged into it. There will be a sound coming out. Just like if you have a fire and you throw gasoline into it, you hear that sound. This is the sound of Jahannam. وَهِيَ tafur, and it will, tafur means something that boils over, that comes out of it. You know, the exact same thing that we notice in when we throw gasoline into the fire, you suddenly see it burst out. That's every time. So the people will be like the fuel of the fire. Every time they're thrown in, it will burst. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْزِ. تَكَادُ, nearly, تَمَيَّزُ means bursting apart. مِنَ الْغَيْضِ. غَيْضِ is extreme rage and anger. The fire itself would be so angry that how dare did these people disobey my Rabb. Remember in the surah we had covered recently that when the Jahannam is brought on the day of judgment, 70,000 rains and 70,000 angels holding it, because it wants to take him even before the judgment. It doesn't want to wait. How did they rebel against my Rabb? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْضِ. Every time it is ready to burst apart from extreme rage. كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Every single time, أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ, a group, a bunch, فوج is like an army, a big group of the disbelievers are thrown into, and who's throwing them in? The angels who guard the hell, the hellfire. Every time they are thrown in there, سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. سَأَلَ, ask. They will be asked by who? خَزَنَتُهَا. The guards of the angels will ask to them, ask them, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Did not a nadir come to you? Just imagine this question. Did not a warner come to you from Allah? This is not because they are feeling sorry for them. This is just to rub it in. You know, like you said, sometimes you tell your child, don't do this, they did it, and now they've learned the wrong way, and then already they're feeling bad, then the parent says, didn't I tell you that? So you rub it in. So the angels will say, didn't a warner come to you? So this is a way of scolding, of reproach, to remind them that a warner had come to them. And yet they rejected. And this will make them feel even worse, that they did not listen and they rejected the warner. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a warner to every nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadira. وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. He's telling the Prophet ﷺ, verily we have sent you, Rasulullah ﷺ, with the truth and a bearer of Bashir and a Nadir, good tidings and a warner, and there never was a nation. إِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا, except that a warner passed among them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْأَثَ رَسُولًا. And we never punish any people until we have sent them a messenger. This is Allah's justice. Now, who are these khazanato, these keepers, as we know? How many angels, if you remember from previous? Guarding hell?
19.
Alayha 19. We covered that in Surah Muddathir. And who is the head in charge of this? What is his name, the angel? Malik. Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the scene of Jahannam that when people have had it in Jahannam, they will say what? وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكَ لِيَقْضِيَ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. That the people suffering in Jahannam, they will cry, say, oh Malik, he is the keeper, the boss. Tell your Lord to do away with us. Finish us. They will wish for death. And what will Malik said? Qala. And he said, Innakum makithun. Surely you are here to stay. You are here to abide forever. There is no, death will not end this punishment. So when they asked this question, did a nadir come to you? At that time as they are being thrown, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the conversation of what they will say. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. They will say, yes. قَالُوا, all of them, this is plural. All of them, nobody will deny that day. بَلَىٰ. قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. Indeed, a nadir, a warner came to us. And what was our response? فَكَذَّبْنَا. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. So they will say, a warner came to us, but we كَذَّبْنَا, we denied him, we belied him, we did not believe in him. And instead we said, Allah has not sent anything. These are not the words of Allah. These are the words of a poet, of a magician, of a shire. And that, what did they say? In antum illa fi dalalin kabir. It is you who are dalalun kabir. You are astray, greatly astray. Telling the messengers and the believers this. This is what they say. So this they will now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what they will say. وقالوا, now listen to this, وقالوا, and they will say, لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل. Oh, this is regret. Oh, if only نسمع, we had heard him, we had listened to him, ونعقل, or used our reasoning, our أقل. ما كنا في أصحاب الصحيح. We would not be among the companions, the residents of the inhabitants of the blazing fire. And who are the companions? The worst of companions, the people of Jahannam. So this is what the regret will be. But it is too late at that time because tawbah is not accepted at that time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. فَاعْتَرَفُوا, from عَرَفَ, no, and to acknowledge, that they will acknowledge and they will confess and they will own up to their sins. ذَنْبِهِمْ, ذَنْب, the word ذَنْب means sin. The interesting thing in the Arabic language is ذَنْب comes from the root ذَنَب. ذَنَب means the tail of an animal. Tail. So what is the implication? Wherever you go, the tail follows you. So if you've committed a sin, it stays attached to you like a tail. The only way to lose it, so don't think, well, I sinned over there, now I've gone somewhere else. No, that's, it follows you just like a tail. The only way to cut the tail is tawbah, sincere tawbah. And there is another implication, spiritual. What does the physically, what does the tail represent? It is the neighborhood of the excretion, of dirt, of filth. So sins are like spiritual filth. فَسُحْقَلْ لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that admitting and repenting at that time is useless. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that Allah will accept the tawbah of his servants until the death rattle, which is till his ruh is in his throat, gharar, the last sounds of the throat that it makes. Up until that time. Even till then, Allah has given us a chance to do tawbah. Not after that. Okay. No tawbah after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَدَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah does not accept repentance. Repentance is not accepted from those who continue to do evil until death approaches any one of them, and then they say, now I repent. Nor is the repentance of those who die in a state of unbelief of any avail to them. It doesn't help them in any way. For them, we have prepared a painful punishment. فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. فَسُحْقًا means something you are trying to get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, remove them away, the companions of the flaming hour. Damned, they are damned. Then, after these six ayahs of Nadir, there is one ayah to give us Bashara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Indeed, those يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, who have khashya, who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil ghaib, unseen, because Allah is in the ghaib, we don't see him. So those who fear Allah, who have awe of Allah, who are afraid of disobeying him without seeing him, because they are certain of his being, iman bil ghaib, for them is Allah's lahum maghfira. The structure is again, only for them is Allah's maghfirah, and we'll come to that. Now there's another meaning of this is, يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ means who fear Allah when they are themselves alone, because they are in the ghaib for others. So it also includes anyone who is alone when nobody sees them, that they make the right choices at that time. For example, it's not totally alone, but the example of Yusuf alayhi salam with the Imratu Aziz, with the woman, the beautiful woman, locked when nobody was there. He was called to commit a sin. He feared Allah. But sometimes we are alone in our room, everything, nobody's home. You have access to all kinds of bad things. But يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُ, I'm afraid of Allah. It prevents me. I make the right choices. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً, only for them is the مَغْفِرَةً. غَفَرَةً, as we said before, مِغْفَر means a helmet, something that protects. Allah protects you. Allah forgives you. Exclusively for these people, there is forgiveness of Allah, which is complete, and the mistakes are covered so that no one else knows. وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَجْر, reward, كَبِيرٌ. Interesting use, kabir, Allah has used here. Because most places come, ajrun azim, great reward. But he uses the word kabir. Remember what the people used to say, who rejected? Antum fi dalalin kabir. You are the ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the same word. No. Ajrun, there is no dalalin kabir, no misguide, great misguide. There is great reward for them. Ajrun kabir. So, now some scholars have said, why is it that the maghfirah is mentioned first and the ajr, the reward, is mentioned after? And they say first, because the biggest concern for people would be what? Am I going in the hellfire? So with the maghfirah comes freedom from the hellfire. And then your reward comes. So, even in our deen, the removal of that fear and removal of harm takes precedence. Because also by maghfirah, there is cleansing. Allah's maghfirah means you are cleansed of your sins. So first you clean and then you beautify, right? You wash yourself, then you put your makeup and clean clothes on, right? So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it. I think I had planned to finish till 18, but we have finished till 12, and I think that's all we'll do because it's an hour and seven. So I hope this has been mutually beneficial, and that we kept your attention, because these are great ayats and a lot to reflect on. And inshallah, in a couple of weeks, we will continue the rest of Surah Mulk, see if we can finish it in the next one. But please reflect on this, go over these. This recording will be available, inshallah, tomorrow to review it, because we need to learn things. Remember, ahsanu amala, we need to learn these things well. Internalize them. It's not just, okay, I heard it and that's it, my life goes on. What impact did this learning the first 12 ayahs of Surah Mulk have on me? That's the question. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who benefit, whose hearts are open to His words, whose lives change for the better, who seek only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through obedience of His word and through the ittiba, the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the walking embodiment of the Quran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.